Hello, and welcome to Intuition Rules, the incandescent radio show that seeks to find insight into that sixth sense, the one we all have, the one that just knows. I'm your host, Hope Katz Gibbs. Here's to harnessing the power of your intuition. Welcome to Intuition Rules. Judy Amato has a gift. Through automatic writing, she can help a person see the events of their past, give them clarity about their present, and she can also see into their future. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs. You are listening to Intuition Rules on the Incandescent Radio Network. Welcome to the show, Judy.
Good morning. Hello, Hope. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I am great, and you're welcome. We're very interested in talking to you about this very interesting topic of automatic writing. So you told me as we were doing our interview before we got on the call that this ability has been something you've had for much of your life, the ability to produce written words without consciously writing. So tell us about that. How does it work?
As I had mentioned, when I was a small child, I think that intuitive gift that we are all born with kind of, you know, as we mature and we start interacting with our parents and the people around us, we find that they influence us and it kind of goes away. And in my 20s, I was introduced to automatic writing through an acquaintance. And I always had the ability, like I said, to pick up on people's vibrations, but didn't know really how to communicate that to them. Through automatic writing, putting the pen to paper and letting words just flow through me, I was able to just prove to people through that physical form that there was something else, something I had to say. And it's just kind of an innate ability, you know, to the pen just is on the paper and you just watch and the words come so quickly that it feels like it's not coming from me because it's the thoughts and some of what comes through is just, it's pretty amazing.
So tell us exactly how this works. You did a reading with me, which was so interesting. I set an intention. I asked you a question and then you just started writing. So tell me exactly what happened from your point of view. What were you accessing?
My preference when I don't know someone is to just sit down and just start writing without having them ask me a question to see what's going on with them. And really, there's nothing going through my mind. It is something that just comes through. And what happens is the person who sits down with me, they will have a question in mind and I will start writing for them. And we kind of veer in a completely different direction. A lot of times it will be about their childhood experiences and how that led them to maybe some issues they're having today. So it really, you know, it depends on the individual. And like I said, you know, when I don't know someone, those are the most fascinating readings. If my husband, for example, asks me something, it's very different than, you know, somebody I don't know.
Okay, so you're accessing information from a different realm. What do you think that means? Do you think it's your unconscious, the collective conscience, a higher power? And I know that you don't really want to talk about the spirituality of it, although it's hard for us not to go there with it. But what do you think this information is coming from?
Personally, I think that we are all plugged into a universal wisdom, a consciousness. And basically, I'm just tapping into what everyone else has the ability to tap into. It's like a giant switchboard. Everybody has that ability. Some people just have the ability to tap into it more than others. And honestly, I think all of us collectively, I think we all make up what we would refer to as God. As you said, I'm reluctant to always talk about the God part of it, the higher power, because sometimes people, it's a turnoff for some people. But, you know, in my opinion, it is talking to God.
Right. And that makes sense because I think a lot of people, whether they're religious or not, have some kind of relationship with God. Can you give us an example, actually, of some information that you've given a client that there's no way that you could have known?
When I work with someone, it's like they're going to a therapist, because a lot of information that comes through is very sensitive information. I mean, sometimes it will touch on things as deep as childhood abuse, you know, physical, sexual abuse, where that led. And sometimes, you know, it's really buried in the subconscious. So I've talked to people who have experienced things like that. A lot of times it could relate to, most recently, it was with someone who lost a child. And, I mean, he was older when he passed, but he was mentally ill. And I knew things about him, very specific, and something that he carried with him at all times. I told the mother what it was. And that morning she had lost that piece, that item. And I was giving her guidance on where to find it, but really what that piece, what that item represented. And it wasn't what she thought. She was holding on to something physical. A lot of it is helping people let go. And, you know, especially working with people who've lost loved ones, you know, letting go and understanding that there's something so much more than this physical world, and it gives them peace.
You know, what's interesting about this project that we've embarked on called Intuition Rules is that we all have a deep, deep intuition. We all seem to know things that we don't know why we know. We just know them. Our intuition tells us. And for some people, it's tweaked up higher than others. Obviously, for you, especially when you're sitting and doing these automatic writings where information is just coming through you, that's the case. But I think this idea that some people are skeptical and others are true believers really applies here. So what I'm trying to do with this whole project is help people understand more deeply how they can intuit information themselves. And what you just said really touches on that, because it's a spark. It's a something that you know that you don't realize that you know, but you know on a deeper level, like that woman holding on to something from her son that she might not have really realized. But then you helped her clear that information, and that was a healing, and then she could move on. So talk a little bit about that, what the point of it is, and how you really help your clients.
I call it a knowing, quote unquote. And as you say, I do believe everyone has that. And it's funny, when I sit down with someone, I always feel that they do know the answer. And it's really pulling that answer out of them. They have the answer within, and it's just right there. So for me, it almost at times doesn't feel like a gift. It just feels natural that they should know this. And that's the beautiful thing about it. And we all have that ability. And I think it's a matter of really just trusting what's in your gut. I think in some cases, though, Hope, people are afraid to look within. They're afraid to become introspective. They're afraid to see what it is, whether it was something that happened to them as a child, whether it's just coming to terms with something they don't like about themselves. And a lot of times that comes up. As I said, I don't know walking in what the circumstance is, but by the time we walk out, we both know. And that's why some people refer to it as 5 years of therapy in an hour, because we get down to the core and to the root. And really it's a matter of sitting with that person and letting them, you know, and just having that information just come out. And it can be life-changing.
Right. And it's that inner knowing and cutting through all the gunk is self-therapy. I don't ever talk to an intuitive guide who pretends to be a therapist. Sometimes they are therapists who want to hone up their intuition.
I think everyone, I listened to a famous radio host, a psychologist. She's amazing. And she said everyone should go through at least 1 year of therapy once a week. And I encourage that in my clients, especially if we hit on something that was so profoundly impactful as a child, for example, that, or in many, many cases, it's about addiction. Addiction is really an underlying theme in what I do. They turn to the drugs and alcohol to kind of turn it off and to just tune out the reality.
Yes, I'm sure that's true. I just want to go back to something you said a few minutes ago. You said that the therapist recommends that people go through therapy for 1 year at least one time in their life. I think you said something about once a week, but that's what you meant. They go through a year of therapy at least once in their lifetime. Is that correct?
Yes, at least once in their lifetime for one full year, once a week. I think that's brilliant because you really do get in touch with who you are. And I think that that's where we're lost. We're so influenced from the time we are born. And I think, and kind of going back to the beginning when we talked about being a child, when we are born, we all have it. But then we're influenced by our friends, our family, everything, and we lose all of that. We forget all of this intuition, this natural ability to connect. Most people that come to me are looking for, in the end, when all is said and done, looking for love.
And you don't necessarily just mean romantic love with a partner, but you mean self-love or...
love of self. You know, so many people second guess themselves and just don't trust themselves and don't love themselves, you know, and that's, it's so sad. That's when I find, you know, in working with people and I do get very desperate people who, you know, do latch on and they just want the answer. Sometimes they don't want to work for it. That's why some people don't want to go to therapy. They'd rather come to me because they think I'll just give them the answers rather than working hard for it. But you do have to dig. You do have to dig, but in the end, everyone, it's really all about that. It's about love.
What was the first experience you had of doing this kind of automatic writing?
Since I always had a natural intuitive ability, I was just always looking for a way to prove it was real, you know, and for me, I can actually sit with someone and talk to them and tell them things, but I didn't feel that it had a solid base, so what I would do is put the pen to paper. I learned that through a friend who I had met years ago. She kind of showed me how to do it, if you will, but I just remember the first time I ever did it, I was sitting alone and I was just connecting. I was really meditating, doing a lot of affirmations. And at the time in my life, my hand was on the paper with a pen. And all of a sudden, my hand started to move and it almost looked just like a wave. And it was just a wave moving across the paper. And I just asked a question. And when I asked the question, words started forming and it wasn't coming from me. And the questions were things that I wouldn't know the answer to. I think it was more about my mom. And I, in testing it, I went to her and I asked, Mom, is this true? And she confirmed that it was. So it was an interesting process. And has been refined over the years. I've grown to learn that it is a gift to help others with. It's almost like a gift of prophecy, if you will.
So interesting. So who is your typical client and is there anyone that you won't work with?
Most of my clients are women in transition. Most recently, and it's usually a life-changing event that brings them to me. In some instances, it could be relationship related with, you know, a marriage, business, but not so much business. It really, a lot of it's marital. A lot of women I know are turning 50. They want answers. And, you know, it really is, I have to say, mostly females, some males. Generally, the men that I work with are extremely open. Once they see the proof, because that's the other part of this, that with the writing, it's almost like evidence as opposed to just sitting with me and, you know, I could guess that, you know. With men, once they see the evidence, then they become fascinated by it. You know, they like more of the questions about, like, the stock market and stuff like that. But we, you know, I can dig deep with men too, because I think that that's a whole different dimension.
Is it hard to have strangers rely on your advice, knowing, you know, they may make some big decisions about their lives based on what you tell them?
I'm very careful with that. And as when you sit in a typical session with me, I think, you know, there's a lot of back and forth and a lot of dialogue, and I'm very much aware that some people may take what I say seriously and, you know, make true life decisions. And I'm always telling them, listen, I'm giving you this information, but, you know, you need to think it through and, you know, and use your own intuition to see if this makes sense for you. You know, don't go just selling your house because I say that might be the best avenue to take. just, you know, sit with it and see if it makes sense. In many cases, it does in the end, and people will come back to me and say, wow, you were right on. This is what I did. This is what happened. But I am always very reluctant, and I think everybody should be, no matter who they're working with, just to take somebody's advice and run with it, even a best friend, you know, or a therapist. You really need to make your own decision.
And have you ever had an experience where you were blocked, that information didn't come through?
That does happen when people are blocked, and they could be blocked in many ways. Most recently, I had a client who, in her own mind, she knew what she wanted to do, and she was not really willing to open up and allow other possibility in her life. She knew what she knew, this is what I've always done, this is what I want to do, that can't be right, you know, and just kind of questioning the whole thing. I really find that, for the most part, the people I can't work with are skeptics. We touched on that a little bit, and control freaks. Because if you're not open and you know, if you can't relinquish control and you're watching what I'm doing, forget it.
And so someone like that would just be coming to you for confirmation, and you're not confirming their beliefs, and so that's blockage.
You know, if people are skeptical of what I do, and I'm very, very, until now, I'm very private about this. I'm very careful who I reveal it to. So this is very new for me to come out, quote unquote. I feel that it's something I want to share. I left corporate America last year. I'm thinking about going back. You know, the more I try to go back, the more I'm being pulled in this direction, and I know there's something greater at work.
So do you have a policy where you withhold negative information that you might get to give to people?
When somebody asks me that question, I always think about the charlatan on the street. You know, you ever see the psychics with the signs outside? You know, you walk in and you're always like, oh, don't tell me anything negative. I always heard that if a psychic tells me something negative, that means they're not good. And it's interesting, because with what I do, sometimes that any kind of negative information is not going to be something like somebody's going to die or something like that, because that's always like one of the biggest fears. I think I always clear it with the client first. Do you really want to hear the truth? Because a lot of times it's the truth, and the truth hurts. So I always say, listen, do you want to know everything? And I'll be honest, for the most part, people want to know. They want the full experience. And I try to be very gentle about it too. If I get a feeling they don't want to hear it, then I kind of go in it, you know, we just go in a different direction. But for the most part, people want to know it all, because they're that desperate in some cases.
So for people who are considering seeing someone like yourself, an intuitive or, an automatic writer, what advice do you have for them?
Number one, I would say go to someone who you know through someone else. The people I work with are referrals. And I think that in that case, it's the best, because then they know what to expect in a way. I just hate to see people pay money for somebody who's not going to give them some sort of takeaway. And if it's about the money, that's the other red flag. You know, like when I sit down with somebody, you know, I really, for many years, I didn't charge at all, because I just felt like it's a gift that I need to share with people. And I reached a point where you realize there's so much time being taken that I almost had to, because my time is valuable. But when I sit down with someone and we are really into something, the clock doesn't stop. I cannot just say, okay, sorry, our time is up, or you owe me more money. That's just not how it works. So I think you'll find that with many people that you work with, like me, it is about the money a lot of times. So that's the other issue. That's the long answer.
No, that makes sense. So our last question before we let you go is, what do you like best about your work, and what has it taught you about yourself?
What I like best is that, without a doubt, I love helping people come up with an answer that could absolutely change their life. I find the greatest satisfaction in working with people who, for example, might have some sort of a physical issue that they're trying to resolve with a physician. and sitting down with that person. I mean, I didn't get to get into too much of what some of the things that come up, but sometimes it's really like questioning whether or not somebody has a disease and, you know, how it's fixed. And, you know, and sometimes I will dispute a doctor's, you know, diagnosis. Not that it's not, or at least send them in a different direction. Because again, I would never, ever say, don't follow your doctor's orders or anything like that. It's not about that. It's about, okay, I think you need to go see an endocrinologist, or I think you need to go do this, or I think, but as people start getting answers, and as people start, you know, whether it's to a physical issue or any other kind of issue in their life, and maybe taking a different direction in their career, I just get the greatest satisfaction when I see that they're happy and that it's working and that their life is back on the right track. And how it's affected me is that it has enabled me to look beyond the material and to really, really understand that there is much more out there than this, that money is not everything. For so long, it was always about comparing and, you know, your square footage and the kind of car you drive and all of that. But that's just filling a gaping hole that we all have within us again. And I can end it this way. In the end, it's about love, and that's what we all will take with us when we leave this earth plane.
Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you so much for your time, Judy Amato, our intuitive guide of the month. You can read all about her gift and her insights on beincandescent.com in the December 2014 issue, and of course also on this podcast on the Incandescent Radio Network, the Intuition Rules Show. So thank you again, Judy. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Hope. Pleasure as well.
We will talk to you soon. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. You have been listening to Intuition Rules, the incandescent radio show that seeks to find insight into that sixth sense we all have, the one that just knows. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, your host. I look forward to talking to you again soon.